Paweł Krupa, President of Polish Home Association.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paweł Krupa. I'm the president of the Polish Roma Association. It's my privilege and honor to welcome you at Polish Home. We welcome you to this 2016 Ethnic Heritage Council Annual Dinner and Award Ceremony. We're honored that you decided to choose the Polish Home to host this event. It's a great honor. I would like to acknowledge some of the guests. We have the honorary consuls of Ireland, Croatia, and Poland. Welcome. I would like to also welcome Joanne Lee, the president of the board of directors of the Ethnic Heritage Council, and as well as other directors. And to our Croatian friends, welcome at the Polish Home. Hopefully we'll see you more often and with those lively performances. So welcome to all of you, as well as any other members of our very diverse ethnic community. And foremost, I would like to welcome Marta Golubiec, and as well as Morwich family, the recipients of the awards tonight. So, welcome. Polish Home Association was established in 1918, so we'll be celebrating our 100th anniversary in a couple of years. The fact that this organization survived almost 100 years is and is still growing and thriving is the best proof that our ethnic heritage is important. While we're all Americans, and our heritage and our cultures are part of our American culture. So we all should continue on working and cultivating our customs and our traditions. This is the best proof that, you know, we need to do that. So I would like to welcome you all. We have a wonderful evening in front of us. Let's celebrate. Let's make some friends. Hopefully, you'll be visiting Polish Home soon, you know, more often, as well as participate in some of the events that we're sponsoring in Seattle and in the Puget Sound area. And let's have fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. It is my great pleasure to introduce to you Marta Golubiec, who is the 2016 recipient of the Aspasia Putridis Pulakis Memorial Award. Let me tell you a few things about Marta before the award presentation. She is one of the most active members of the Polish community in Seattle for over 50 years. She was born in Poland, immigrated to England with her family after World War II, and went on to live in Chicago, where she graduated from the Loyola University and later moved with her husband Ron, who is also here today, to Seattle and arrived here in 1961 to work for the Boeing Company. In the 1980s, they established a family business, Polyways Travel Company in Seattle. Marta experienced firsthand through her struggles in Poland and then through the immigration process, what it means to fight for freedom and independence. And it is as the seed was planted that grew into a lasting commitment to preserve her history, heritage, language, and culture of Poland abroad. Her accomplishments are wide-ranging, beginning with a dedication to the Polish Home Association of Seattle, where she spearheaded support activities and fundraising to preserve the Polish Cultural Center, which we're enjoying tonight. She also was very active in the broader Seattle community. She was a leader here for KOPIN, the Polish Women's Club at the Polish Cultural Center. She's also a founder of the local Polish Scout organization since 1986. We have representatives here. This group educates young boys and girls about Polish traditions, history, and provides opportunities for them to experience the wonderful outdoors in the Pacific Northwest. She was herself a scoutmaster for 24 years and then successfully transitioned the leadership to new staff. She was also a co-founder of the Seattle Dina Sister City Association, and this organization promotes educational, cultural, and trade exchanges between Seattle and Gdynia in Poland, and they also started the Seattle Polish Film Festival. Martha was also instrumental in launching the UW, University of Washington, Polish Studies Endowment Committee, which is fundraising for a chair of Polish Studies and also support for student scholarships and visiting scholars from Poland. A little historic note: with her husband Ron in the 1980s, they led community support and raising awareness of the Solidarity movement in Poland, and they also helped with assimilation and receiving refugees in the Seattle area that were leaving Poland at that time. She has produced documentaries that tell stories of Polish refugees of both world wars. She has helped produce a documentary called A Trip to Nowhere in 2010, and this tells the story of Poles exiled to Siberia by the Soviets during World War II. And just last year, in 2015, although she's been working on this for some time, she prepared a visual presentation on a Japanese rescue of Polish children from Siberia after World War I. In the greater Seattle area, Martha has also been involved in community and business organizations, sharing her experience, skills, and tireless dedication. She has been a member and officer of the University Lions Club and an officer of the Wallingford Chamber of Commerce, where they had their business for many years. Throughout the span of over 50 years of community involvement, she has never missed an opportunity to promote a Polish history, culture, language, and traditions that contribute to the Pacific Northwest ethnic landscape. She was one of the 53 who were first indicted as the first members of the Ethnic Heritage Council, which was founded in 1980 and has served on the council for that. Martha Gołubiec represents a leadership role model for us, and she supports her native heritage while also contributing to the local American community, and this is why we admire her so much. She's raised awareness of important issues to the Polish community and the ethnic and international communities as well. Her leadership makes us realize how much time and how much immense dedication it takes to make things happen. Martha's public service record proves that she is an outstanding leader in our community. Congratulations.
But having lived in Seattle
It has been a pleasure to be a part of the community in different ways. I remember today was a pleasure again to see Roseanne and Yukio Kubasaka, whom we knew as pediatricians. I knew him as a pediatrician for our darling little boys, John and Mark, who are sitting here. And Roseanne and I were together in preschool, would you believe it, with our children. We go way back. It's a pleasure to see Serene you talk. And I thought, oh my gosh, Serene, how I remember her well. She was so kind and charming, always helping out with the Seattle sister cities. It isn't like you decide, oh, you're going to have Gdynia as a sister city, rah, rah, rah. Oh, no, no, no. It's a long process. And Serene Utok from the city of Seattle has been most gracious and kind in helping us. So we have a lot of people that we have cooperated with and worked with. Roseanne Royer is unbelievable. I mean, she is a mover and a shaker. And it's so nice to see you here, Roseanne. You're very kind. Good to see you. One of the things, I really am not a planner. I'm one of those persons that falls into things. They just happen. And here in Seattle, we have some Siberian deportees from World War II. When you think of World War II, you think of Germany attacking Poland on the 1st of September. And that's it. Well, on the 17th of September, the Soviet Union attacked Poland. So they got it from both sides. The Germans did their stuff in concentration camps. I had an uncle that died, by the way, in Auschwitz, and he was not Jewish. And also, the Soviets, what they did is they deported close to 2 million Polish people to Siberia. So the movie that we have, A Trip to Nowhere, is sort of a documentary on these people that were put in, how should I say, they were called cattle cars, box cars. No windows, no doors, just locked inside by the hundreds. And they were shipped to God knows where. That's why the movie is called A Trip to Nowhere. And we, by the way, we have Mrs. Baud here. Mrs. Baud, can you stand up? She is one of the Siberian survivors. From World War II. So the Poles, after the war ended, ended up in all sorts of places, because when Stalin became our friend and ally, he suddenly decided that he would, after much discussion and agreements, he decided to let go part of the Polish population that was shipped to Siberia. And with General Anders, they went to Iran, to Persia, as it is called, to Pahlavi, and there were Polish camps in Tehran, in Isfahan, in Ahwaz, and then from Ahwaz, they went all over, primarily in the British Empire. Thank God for the British Empire and the British who really fought in World War II. They remade an effort. If you consider the other countries, I sort of wonder. But the British really held on. So these people later on went to the various colonies, or part of the, they were colonies then. This is not the Commonwealth, it was the British Empire. They went to countries in Africa, they went to New Zealand, they went all over the place. And primarily to the British colonies, but they also, last night, by the way, at the University of Washington, thanks to the UW Polish Studies, there's a movie about Santa Rosa, which is in Mexico. In Mexico, there were 1,700 Polish orphans and primarily women who got out of Siberia, and they were welcomed by the Mexicans, and the United States did not accept any, because we were friends with Uncle Joe. You know which one. Stop. But anyway, here I go again. History is my hobby. So we have the movie, Trip to Nowhere. But one of the things that I also fell into, it was just by accident. There's a photograph here of the Polish Hall as it was originally. This photograph was taken probably in 1920-21. We don't have the documentation for it. But in the center of the photograph, there's a group of children, and they look like they're in uniform. They look alike, kind of, same age. We couldn't figure out for the last 90-some years who these children were. Even talking to the children of the Founding Fathers, who probably were in that picture, they didn't know who these kids were. Nobody knew who these kids were. And there was a lady who came up here from California. She said, you know, my father, was one of those children. I said, your father was one of those children? She said, yes. He was deported, he was rescued by the Japanese in 1921-22 and taken from Vladivostok by the Japanese first to Japan. And then they went by ships. Six ships came to Seattle, Japanese ships. And they all had 50, 60 children. Keep in mind, this was 1920-21, so the ships were not like the cruise ships now. They have 6,000 passengers. So these children happens to be here at the time that they were celebrating 4th of July. And she told me that her father was one of the kids. And later on, she told me there's a book that just came out, written by a Polish professor from Wrocław, about the Siberian children rescued by the Japanese. Interestingly enough, when you think of it, when the emperor Akihito was in Warsaw with his wife, he knew about this story. He wanted to meet those children. Well, those children were like in their 90s. So it was some of the children who were invited to the Japanese embassy in Warsaw and met the emperor and his wife. And there's still a club of the ones that are surviving, of the children that are in Japan, and they speak some Japanese and maintain some of the Japanese traditions. So Poles are kind of all over the place. I mean, there we are, thanks to the Japanese that saved those children. The reason why there were so many Polish people in 1919, well, it was after World War II, 1820 and so forth, was because there was no Poland for like 100, 125 years. It was part of Russia, part of Austria-Hungary, part of Prussia, but Poland was subdivided by all of these wonderful countries. So Poles worked in Russia, they worked in Prussia, they worked in Budapest and Vienna and so forth, because they were just part of these various empires, which is kind of interesting. So in Vladivostok, Khabarovsk, there were a lot of Polish people who were there as bankers, as physicians, as engineers, all sorts of people that had all sorts of jobs working in Russia, which was Russia then. But when it became the Soviet Union, that was a different story. The cleansing that happened at that time was, of course, brutal. Primarily men were either executed, shipped into the gulag or whatever, and it was interesting how they were judged. They were judged by their hands. If they had dirty hands, worn, worked, and so forth for many years on farms, they were okay. But if these people had soft hands and clean hands, that means they were enemies of the Soviet Union, so they had to be put down. So a lot of these men primarily were essentially either shot, shipped off into the gulag, or whatever. So these women were left with children that had no place to go and no income, how to survive. So there were children that were in Russian orphanages, they were in Chinese, in Mongolia also, Manchuria, I should say. So anyway, so these Polish children were gathered by two Polish social workers, and they gathered them and they asked Japan to help. Anyway, so being Polish is a lot of fun. But let me add one more thing that you might find interesting. Volunteering is great.
You never know what you're going to learn, really. So I was in the Waterford Chamber of Commerce. I was president then, and University Alliance that supports us, the Ethnic Heritage Council, and so forth. But one of the things I mentioned to Roseanne was that I was a volunteer Polish interpreter for the Red Cross. And that was in the 80s. We had an influx, a large influx, of Polish immigrants coming to Seattle. Many of them did not speak Polish. Speak English. They had a hard time initially. It's always the same story of the immigrants coming and the proverbial $5 and surviving. So I became a volunteer, and I helped 30 Polish immigrants. But also, I had some very interesting experiences. One of them was I was called by the passport office from the airport to please come immediately. There's a family here that has entered the United States illegally, and they have to take care of us. So I dashed. Thank God I was self-employed. So I dashed down to the airport, and I knew where, they told me where to go, which door to knock on, and knocked three times. And I entered the passport control office, and there's this family with children, sure enough. So I introduced myself, and I said, I'm Martha Bulubiak from the Red Cross Volunteer, and so on. And I said, I'm here as a Polish interpreter. I said, these people aren't Polish. They're not speaking Polish. And the gentleman sitting there with his whole family, with his group, said, oh, we are Polish. We are Polish. I said, but you aren't speaking Polish. Oh, we are Polish. We speak Polish. It turns out they were gypsies from Poland, and they spoke their own language. But they were very elegant, very nicely dressed. The problem was they made the mistake of coming to Seattle on Swedish passports, and they didn't speak one word of anything Scandinavian, Norwegian, or Swedish, And here they come to Seattle, and probably the passport agency, passport control says something in Scandinavian, and they couldn't, answer. So anyway, that was one of the endeavors in my great career as a volunteer with the language bank at the Red Cross. So what I would like to do is just say, just fall into things. Just do things as they come along. And don't be afraid to go and try, It's amazing who you will meet. It's amazing. It's like with the Ethnic Heritage Council. I mean, I would have known Roseanne if it wasn't for the Ethnic Heritage Council. She was here at the Polish Hall when Ambassador Kempelman was here. We have a photograph together, as a matter of fact. So there are many, many instances where there are opportunities to meet people, to do things, to give, to contribute, not just be there and say, oh my, somebody should do this or whatever. It has been indeed a pleasure to be here, a member of the Polish Home Association, Seattle, Gdynia, City, I'm a member of all sorts of organizations. And it has been an eye-opener in so many ways. I am a member of this Polish community, and proud to be a member of this Polish community, but also a member of the Seattle community, a member of the neighborhood, and it is truly a pleasure to be here and an honor to receive this award. Thank you.
So I want to thank the Ethnic Heritage Council for establishing this award in my mother's name. My mom was a founding member of the Ethnic Heritage Council, invited to join the workshop at the Seattle Center. She was involved in that, and then it was Roseanne, of course, who got her involved, along with a lot of other people. And then she passed away in 1981, and the first council was a very small, tight-knit group, and some donations came in to the council in my mother's name, and I remember Caroline Morrison phoning me to say that they decided that they were going to use those donations and establish this award in my mother's name for a person who contributed to their own ethnic group and to the wider community. And so it's been a real pleasure for me to see the and to present sometimes the award to, oh gosh, all kinds of different people from all kinds of different ethnic groups. Now, I've got to say one thing. I'm kind of excited that it's a Polish community member who's getting the award this time, because I found a connection between the Greeks and the Poles. So our family name, well, the way my sisters and I pronounce it is Poulakis. But my mother always said Poulakis, and my father always said Poulakis. So we all pronounced our name differently in English. In Greek, it's Poulaki. Now, that's the Greek pronunciation. But we had people who said, so is your name Pulaski? And in high school history, you know, there's a brigadier general appointed by George Washington, Casimir Pulaski, who came from, well, I don't know, was it? Yeah, Poland existed at that time, to this country, and fought in the American Revolution. He was a hero of the American Revolution and died in that service. And so I wanted to claim that, because, you know. So it's just that little Pulaski, Pulakis, just two little letters. Too bad. And we would get calls from time to time asking if we could provide dinner reservations, because it turned out there was a Pulaski's Hill Villa restaurant in Portland where I grew up. But no, we had to say, no, that's the wrong number. So I am very pleased to be able to present the award to Martha, and I'm going to try to say your name.
You never know where you find ancestors rather of Polish descent, like Kazimierz Pulaski. Here we have an example. I neglected to say thank you. You can't do anything alone. It takes a village. Well, we don't have a Polish village, but we sure have fabulous people. So it is thanks to all the Polish people in our community that have made a lot of things possible. And what was wonderful about their support is they didn't sort of take a negative attitude, like, oh, forget it, don't do that, that's dumb, never, ever. So I have to thank the Polish community for their support and their kindness. And a lot of this that we have talked about this evening would not have happened if it wasn't for them. And the other thing is, we didn't recognize Solidarność. When you think of Solidarność that started in Poland, in Gdańsk, with the shipyard strikes, martial law, it is essentially thanks to Solidarność in Poland that all of that communist, tragedy is over. That all of these countries of Central and Eastern Europe are free. They talk about the Berlin Wall, and I think, oh God, why don't they talk about Gdańsk? That's where it all started. It wasn't at the Berlin Wall. So, and we have some members here from Solidarność, among others, Mr. Prentke, who was imprisoned as the leader of Solidarność. They really went through hell. They risked their jobs, their apartments, their whole livelihoods, and they were imprisoned just because they supported freedom. Thank you.